Hello and welcome to the Campaign podcast. I am Lucy Shelley, tech editor at Campaign, and in this episode, we are joined in the studio by Shauna Lewis, senior media reporter.
Hello.
Hiya. Charlotte Rawlings, Campaign's roving reporter.
Hello.
It's an unofficial job title,
unofficial,
though, isn't it?
Unofficial, yeah.
Well, in today's jam-packed episode, we brought our reporters from media and creativity together to take us through the news of the last 7 days and what we've got coming up this week. So, two major stories in the news headlines this week. WPP's internal whistleblower reports rose by 64% in 2023. It noted 612 internal reports last year, up on the 372 it received in 2022. The holding group said the most commonly raised concerns in 2023 were about respect in the workplace and protection of WPP's assets. And for publicists in the news, they have decided to shake up the board. Arthur Sadoun takes sole charge and Maurice Levy moves to an emeritus role. But let's talk about the news of the week. So, Charlotte, what's going on in creative? A lot of people moves, I've heard.
Yeah, Adlan be making moves.
Adlan be making moves.
Look, I'm trying to talk to the younger generation here. Adlan's making moves. So, Pablo, we mentioned in a previous podcast that they had hired some strategy peeps. So Lisa Stoney, former head of planning at Adam and Eve, became deputy chief strategy officer, and Emma Stafford, former strategy director at Acne, became planning director. But now they've added some creatives into the mix with the addition of Mark Lewis and Matt Finch, who are creative directors at Adam and Eve again. Fuming. And David Shirley, creative director at Special Group New Zealand, also joined. So we had another big people move last week, on a Friday, no less.
On Friday. We work all the way through the week.
Yeah. co-founder and chief executive of Creature, Dan Cullen Shute, left the agency as part of a restructure. This is about to be a mouthful. Social agency Positive Netherlands. So former joint chief executive Matthew Robinson is replacing him as CEO. As Creature merges with integrated digital marketing agency Positive UK, social agency Positive Netherlands, social content agency Dunked, and video specialist Sessions One under a new pillar within the Dutch-founded agency group Candid. So there's a lot going on there. Yeah. On a Friday.
That was a big, big story, that.
Huge.
Yeah, I was annoyed I didn't see Dan Cullen shoots off.
How long have you been keeping that one quiet?
No, just now, I was reading it, you know, here, whilst we were prepping for our podcast. And
what a missed opportunity. Imogen wrote that one. Imogen, she doesn't work for Campaign anymore.
But yeah. It's her final article, though.
It was her final article, and she missed a great pun. Yeah. Shame on her. And finally, in People News, Leah Burnett UK has welcomed two creative directors to its ranks, with Kimberly Gill, who joins from VCCP, and Bethany Manning, who joins from We Are Social.
And Shauna, you've been very busy over the last couple of weeks looking into agencies' gender pay gaps. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I've been working with our data editor, Elena Lewis, on the government data that's published yearly. And we found the median gender pay gap of the ad industry, once you kind of collate all of the companies that publish, is set to be less than 10% by 2029. So it's set to reach 9.48%. Which is, I don't know, pretty dire, some might say.
2029
is a while away. I would have thought by, you know, what's that, in 5 years' time, the change would be more. I was more surprised that you said there was only that.
Yeah, well, so I spoke to Leanne Ray Robinson, who's a campaign chair at Wackle, and she said that when the law came into effect that you had to publish your gender pay gap data, there was quite a sharp decrease when that law kind of first started. And now it's kind of slowed down a bit. And she kind of said the pressure's dropped off a bit, people's attention is elsewhere, and it's kind of started to slow down, which is kind of bleak, because it's
it's
not so much of a focus anymore.
I think it also kind of shows that it reduced in that time when agencies realise headlines are going to be created. Make sure that, you know, our gender pay gap's not horrendously large.
Yeah.
And like you said, other things have become more important or more newsworthy. So they've kind of moved on to other things, which is really sad to see a regression, isn't it?
Yeah. I think this is stuff that we've reported on before, but it always bears repeating, kind of in terms of policies, you need to focus on periods, menopause, maternity policies, because women face a lot more health related issues that stop them progressing in the workplace. And she also noted that men are much better at negotiating. So maybe that's something that bears looking into, like how we negotiate and things
like
that.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But yeah, that's what's going on.
Awesome. So you had one piece published last week and you've got another one coming up?
Yes. So last week we focused on the kind of like overall view of the industry, of like where it's going to go. And then this week we're going to be looking at the individual companies that reported the largest and the smallest gaps and seeing what they're going to be doing about it, that kind of thing.
Nice. Well, we'll be sure to head over to campaignlive.co.uk to catch up on that. And Charlotte, you were working on a pretty big story last week on the Cannes Lions awarding jury. So yeah, what's going on there? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I feel like people like reading that story because it's like a lot of faces that they know and like, oh, that's my mate judging all the work.
Looking forward to the summer now, isn't it? I think, yeah. You know, Cannes in people's brains.
It's really creeping up on us. But yeah, so Frankie Goodwin, Chief Creative Officer at Saatchi & Saatchi, and Felix Richter, Chief Creative Officer and Creative Partner at Mother, are among the 16 UK figures. So these two will be judging the Film Lions and the Outdoor Lions, respectively. And then just to sprinkle a few more names in there, Anthony Nelson, Executive Creative Director at Adam and Eve, DDB, will also be on the Film Lions jury. Sue Uneman, Chief Transformation Officer at Essence Mediacom X and Global Head of Relevance for Essence Mediacom Creative Futures, will be judging the Glass Lion for Change. Anna Akande, a VFX producer at Unini Productions Limited, will be judging the Digital Craft Lions. And James Sawson, Executive Producer at Magnus Studios, will be helping to award the Film Craft Lions. Etc. etc. There's 16 figures, so if you want to know all of them, head to the story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge long list of all the other jurors as well. But have we heard anything about the humour category yet?
Yeah, so a lot of people were asking me about this because I think a lot of people are kind of puzzled about where the humour category kind of stands with everything. But there isn't a separate jury for that. I actually interviewed Marianne Branerly, who is the awards director at Cannes Lions, and she was explaining that humour isn't a sole category on its own alongside, you know, film, digital craft, outdoor, all of that. It's a subcategory within some of those lions. You learn something new every day, right?
Maybe you should have read that story.
Yeah, read the website. But yeah, so use of humour is a subcategory that sits within audio and radio, brand experience and activation, direct, entertainment, gaming, music, sport, film, media, outdoor, PR, print and publishing, and influencer. But yeah, essentially they're judging the work with a lens of humour according to the specialisms of the categories, if that makes sense.
Okay, so there's like a criteria almost. They'll be judged again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Well, that's interesting. I think everyone was keen to understand how that was going to work.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. I think we're just going to kind of see how they do it this year and then we'll roll with it. But yeah.
Nice. Question of the week. So we have got to the slot where we're talking about where we ask Adlan some questions. So will more agencies move to a holding company solution for their biggest clients? This was something that Shauna was leading on last week, or was published last week, and this was written in light of a few things, but including the Amazon pitch, which was pretty big. So Shauna, do you want to talk us a little bit about
that? So we were asking this question in light of all the mergers that everyone seems so fond of doing. So VMLY&R, Wunderman Thompson, you know, Essence and Mediacom, Dentsu restructuring to encourage like cross collaboration across agencies, but then also that responses to pitches like Amazon one, the L'Oreal one, where it's like Publicis Power of One is pitching for it, kind of thing. And the answers we mainly got from that was like, you know, if clients need a group-wide solution, like that is what we're going to offer to give them the best. But then this led to our question of the week, I think last week. Can't quite remember when all the question of the weeks came up, but this led to a later question, which was, are individual agency brands on the wane? So with all these networks merging and offering these wider solutions, like, are we losing like identities of individual agencies and like culture and things like that? And I think Charlie Rudd, who's the group chief executive of Leo Burnett and Publicis London, formerly Publicis Park.
Yes. Lest we forget.
Charlie Rudd, who's the group chief executive of Leo Burnett and Publicis London, formerly Pope, I thought his answer to our individual agency brands on the wane was one of the most interesting. And he spoke about agency brands not being on the wane, but agency brand management. He noted that Havas paid a potential 120 million for Uncommon last year, and he said that that showed the strength of certain agency brands. But then when it came to networks merging agency brands, he blamed accidental brand mismanagement, which he said can lead to a huge dilution of brand equity and confusion for clients and talent. He kind of ended his answer to the question saying, all successful agencies I know have a very clear sense of what they're here to do and for whom. So yeah, he kind of attributed it to mismanagement rather than brands themselves.
I think that's really interesting that he said that, but was there anyone that kind of said the opposite?
Well, people who were part of these networks that had maybe we also talked to Patrick Affleck, and we also talked to Niels Leonard. And again, it was kind of that thing of like client need and creating a structure where there's like shared capabilities and everything like that, and having their own distinct role but bringing all of their skills. So not necessarily direct disagreement, but you know, just a different perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this all goes back to, like you said, client need, and especially when tech is moving so quickly and people are wanting to engage with their consumers in much more varied ways, and the skills that are required are just getting far more diverse, and needing to have so many different skills and expertise and knowledge, that it's almost like maybe if you're spreading yourself too thin, you can stick to specialisms.
But you can, but you can see why it's needed. I suppose it's like a case by case basis thing. Mm. Sorry to sit on the fence and be like, it depends. But like, I'm going to sit on the fence and say it depends, because you're always going to get different perspectives about what works better. And I suppose it's not really better, it's just different. Like, it's whatever they think the client needs, kind of thing.
And in other campaign news, School Reports is going live this week, which is very exciting. It's been a long time coming. Obviously, it's the first one that's not in print. So there's going to be a lot of content coming up over the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we'll initially go live this week. We've got a special podcast coming out, a whole range of features on it as well. So be sure to look out and see how that's going.
And we all work really hard on it.
So remember that before you send us an angry message.
Yeah. We work really hard on it. But yeah, I'm excited to see all of it online.
Yeah, same.
To see what our art director, Chris Barker, is cooking up.
Yeah. Mm. Everyone's worked really hard.
That's true. Well, all your hard work has come to the end of this massive project. So I think we all look forward to seeing it live, don't we?
And you'll be doing it next year, Lucy.
Well, that is all we've got time for today in this week's podcast. So thank you very much, Charlotte.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Shauna.
You're welcome.
And thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. If you'd like to learn more about what we discussed in this week's podcast, please visit campaignlive.co.uk. Details of our subscriptions are available at campaignlive.co.uk/membership. And if you enjoyed this episode of the Campaign Podcast, please follow us, like us, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. A huge thank you, as always, to our producer, Till Owen, and the studio team at Haymarket. And thank you too for listening. We hope you will join us next time. So on behalf of the Campaign team, goodbye.